Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Essentially, in other words, we've got to follow the money. We can't afford to be left behind, was his point. And what it looks like is that, okay, well, the SEC's done this. How can we best position ourselves for our television deal and everything else to be in a situation like them?
Yep.
It's about keeping up with the Joneses. The SEC's the pace setter here. You got to catch up, and for UCLA, USC, you see your better options for you are in a stronger-looking Big Ten. Just makes all the sense in a Big Ten that apparently, just like the SEC, has ideas of becoming a super conference, and so you've got to follow the money. That's what this is all about, and again, is it a little weird right now? Some of the new games that will form out of this thing, new rivalries, sure. But this is like I said, we said earlier in the show, this is always where it was heading because college athletics always follows the dollar. And this is what these super conferences are what are going to draw out the big dollar from these, you know, networks, ESPN, Fox, all of it. And after that, everybody else can go fend for themselves. So.
Right.
That's where we're at right now.
It is where we're at.
And we probably should have seen it coming.
Right. Well, look, you know,
in terms of we see the SEC what it's doing, but
right.
we should have known UCLA, USC, some of these bigger names and some of these weaker conferences might be looking to break off and go big here. Yes.
Right. Now, yeah. I will say at least with Oklahoma and Texas.
Shouldn't the Pac-12 have been all over this, you know, that I mean, you're checking your guys, you're checking your traps. You got to make sure everybody's in it with you.
But what could you have done differently? You couldn't have prevented it. That's the thing. It's like your deal is your deal, and you're not going to get more.
Well, just be better prepared for it. Because I would tell you that the Big 12 and what happened there, they went out and made a move. You touched on this yesterday, I want to say. I can't remember if it was on air or off, but would the Big 12 have done what it did in terms of poaching the AAC if it knew all this was happening? And that's the point, to at least be better prepared, have a better idea of what's going on, of what the SEC and the Big Ten's plans are. No, you're right. You can't prevent it. They're going to follow the money. But at least be better prepared so you're not blindsided or making decisions in terms of who you're adding that later on aren't going to look so smart. Like, frankly, right now, the Big 12 looking at what it's added, you know, in Cincy, Houston, and because everything's about to open up again. So that's why I said just be better. Would have seemed to, yeah, you need to be a little bit better prepared, have a little bit better foresight, seems like to me, with the way things were shifting, to be so blindsided by it. You just saw Oklahoma and Texas blindside the Big 12.
Yep. But at least with them.
But you're right. You could not have prevented it, but you could have been better prepared.
At least with Oklahoma and Texas, though, like, I'm just saying in terms of just my reconciliation of it, it's they're both, like, south, you know? Like, okay, that makes sense, right? SEC, Oklahoma.
Yeah, you're speaking regionally.
Yes.
And yes.
Yeah. Like, we're basically, that facade has been, like, completely gone, like, washed away with this, right? Like, the USC, I guess, you know, the Big Ten, there's nothing regional about Big Ten. It is regional, right? But it's not like you're, you know, you don't have, like, a directional, or it's not like the, you know, the North Ten. It's just the Big Ten. So, you know, I mean, you know, PAC is regional. Southeast is regional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do think region is like what people care about in college sports, right? Like, that's how that you get the rivalries, and that's how you get the passion. And, you know, you think about Florida and Georgia, world's large cocktail party. You know, it is harder to stoke those when you have two, you know, random you know, locations, right? Like USC and I'm not going to take a big, like, obviously Ohio State and USC is, it's obvious to understand that's going to be a huge draw no matter what. But like you're middle of the pack. But I'm not like clutching my pearls over it either. because I understand, I think we should all have understood by now what it's about and what it's always been about. We just didn't want to talk about, you know, out loud and publicly.
Washington, Oregon could be next.
Yeah.
Going following USC, UCLA. Could see the SEC, you know, Clemson, Florida State. Mm-hmm. Everything's on the table, it feels like.
Yeah, so ESPN has a piece up about where they talk to some insiders, some powerful people. And one industry source told ESPN, "I see a world where the whole thing splits in half. There's 35 or 40 programs in the top echelon that are actually driving the college football playoff and all the economics around the CFP. Everything else flows off of that. It's obvious why it's happening now, because the contract for the college football playoff does end after 2025. Mm-hmm. You know, so what's that going to look like, that negotiation? And it does, like, it. If I'm the coach of, you know, Memphis, if I'm the coach of Boise State, if I'm the coach of, or fan, I'm like, what am I even doing it for? You know, to hope that you will be in this group someday. But, you know, it's hard to think you will be. It's hard. You know, and we were having this conversation yesterday, but if it's really 35 or 40 and that's it, like, you just know you're not going to be in that group.
No, but again, and I was there where you're at yesterday, what could be left is enough, right? Enough of the folks that are left out that it's solid enough. You know, it's better than where you were. And we've been saying that around here for a long time. You know, coming out of CUSA, whatever it is, hoping to get to a watered-down Big 12, out of the AAC, whatever. It's better than what you were. And if there are enough leftovers, right, enough that our brand are solid names that bring value to the table. No, it won't be what the Big Ten and the SEC are forming, clearly, but it'll be the next tier down, and hopefully, again, that's enough to survive. It's enough to still want to run a program, to make it worthwhile, to still have your fans passionate like they are here in Memphis. That's going to be, I mean, it feels like that's, you know, I hate to shoot for the best, the yep. secondary best, the best of seconds, but frankly, it's been Memphis's plight for a long time now. And again, as nice as it would be to say, hey, you know, roll out the life raft for us, we're worth it. That was you yesterday.
Yep.
Sure, we'd all love to see it. I just don't see all of a sudden where they see a new value in you.
Right.
Look, you know, you're bringing all this value to our big boy table. We know how Memphis is looked at. So back to the point. Best case scenario may be you're in the group with the leftovers, hoping that, okay, well, TV's still got, you know, inventory. It still needs inventory. It's still got spots to fill. No, you're not going to be in the big deal for ESPN, the big deal for Fox and the Big Ten, the SEC ones, but you can be the next deal down, and hopefully it's enough, John, to sustain and still, you know, still make it makes sense to run a program, an athletic program, because you're still selling tickets. People are still excited about it.
Well,
it's hard to get excited, though, when you're not playing for the best. When you're not playing for the championship, right? That's been Memphis's plight in football. It affected recruiting. It affected everything, ticket sales, all that. If you're a level down and you can't play for the title,
right.
We can talk about, you know, how hard it is, but it's still a possibility. We saw Cincinnati. Like, you can still tell yourself and sell yourself. If you're not doing that, can fans really get excited about the next level down? That's probably going to be a question Memphis has to ask itself.
Well, you're going to have
hopefully
to
there'll
sort
be
of,
enough brands in there that people
right.
still get excited. Recognizable, good brands that got left out of the two super conferences
right.
that people can still get excited. I think probably they will.
Well, the question just becomes like...
Excited enough.
Well, there have been some great moments, right? Like, Memphis football's had some great moments. You know, they won the AAC. That was great. They went to the Cotton Bowl. A lot of people had memories there. Like, you can make memories... You take your family out, it's really affordable, you know, in terms of, like, if you're a family of four, what are you looking to do on a Saturday? Go to a Memphis Tiger football game, right? So, like, even though they're not competing for championships because they can't, it doesn't mean that you still can't enjoy, right, what they're doing.
But it's a different level, though. Like, if you told me that
but
obviously
they
football
can't.
Makes the decisions, but let's make this a basketball conversation just for a second here. And if you told me that the University of Memphis, now coached by Penny Hardaway, couldn't win a national title, right, the whole enchilada, after you've been there twice, finished runner-up, it's not the same,
well,
right?
Well, no, but...
Yeah, I can be happy with my own little world, my own little smaller trophy, but it's not the same if I can't dream big and win the whole thing. That's the point here.
But Memphis football can't. They just can't.
You can tell yourself and sell you that. You can still... Tell yourself you are still in the system right now.
Yeah, but you're not though, right? I mean, you're not. You Memphis football and any
program like
Memphis. Well, I mean,
Cincinnati, with the way they're structured now, Cincinnati just laid out how you can do it.
Well,
it's still very unlikely, but Cincinnati just laid it out from your conference how you can do it.
I mean,
they got their shot.
Right, but then they got another.
And yeah, you're selling a pipe dream, John, but it's still you can still sell it. If you're not involved in a college football playoff, it's completely different. If you're not involved in an NCAA tournament that has the big boys in it and you can win the whole thing, it's completely different still.
Yes.
Yeah, how unlikely it is might not change, but the idea that you're in it is still the same. And if you take away the fact that you're in it, it's not the same passion. It's not the same level of investment. It's a tier down.
But I mean, look, that's the reality for Memphis football, though. There's a 0.01% chance it could ever make the playoff. They're not going to be able to play Notre Dame in a regular season. You know, it's hard. You know how, especially, it's only going to get worse from here on out. These schools are not going to play you. You know, you're just going to have a harder time scheduling and getting these big time games. So your access, if it was already incredibly restricted before now, it's only going to get more so, if not taken off the table completely. I mean, that's just the truth. If you don't, you know, I mean, you'll
that's not getting it here. I'm sorry, that won't get it for Memphis football. Like the reason Memphis football has made the comeback isn't just what's on the field. All credit to Justin Fuente, Norvell, where Silverfield's trying to get it. I mean, he's got work to do to get back up. Mm-hmm. It's the idea that you can go join the big boys. That's been part of the investment and everything else.
Right.
It's that carrot in front of us, John, of having a chance to play with the big boys, to be in a bigger conference, all of it. That's been just as much of a part of the investment and the buildup as everything else. And you take away that carrot, it's not the same. It's not big boy anymore, and it's not the same. It's just not the same level. You're right. You'll have to get used to it, right? But it will ultimately be different. And here's my point. If the tournament, the NCAA tournament changes, because we know around here, it's about basketball with this athletic department. If that changes too, and you're playing in a secondary tournament, I just have a hard time seeing you're still able to raise the millions because, again, John, from Memphis, so often it's been that carrot in front of us. Winning the whole thing, playing with the big boys, you get left behind. That's gone for that carrot's gone. And again, the passion, the investment, would it still be there at a similar level? You'd lose something there. You'd lose quite a bit. And then maybe to a point. Remember, John, we aren't so far removed from Memphis asking itself the question: do we want to keep football?
Mm-hmm.
Got it? And it's again that carrot to go join the big boys. Hey, Louisville did it. Cincy's doing it. Houston's doing it. We can too. That's been a huge part of why you've been able to get how close that you have. You take away that carrot, bro, it won't be the same. You know. And again, so maybe football can be one thing. Surely, and we touched on earlier. Gary Parrish wrote about it. Hopefully, they won't mess with that NCAA tournament, because again, to us, that's what's going to matter more.
Yeah,
we may be at a point where we're asking again: should we play football? We may get back there if we're left behind.
Look,
like
mean,
it appears
real,
we're about
it's
to
a
be.
Real, it's a real damn conversation, and you're having it early, but it's real because there going to be another chance? Like, and by the way, this isn't even a chance. Memphis has no chance to get into the Big Ten. They have no chance to get into the SEC. So this is not a question of that. At all, which, again, that's its own thing, you know? That's a class of its own. And that's really and we say this, but it's true. And you've heard, you know, the Brett McMurphys of the world say it, and you've heard the Paul Feinbaums of the world say it, but the gap between the haves and the have-nots is growing wider by the day. It just is. And now...
Well, the NCAA tournament still allows the have-nots to play with the big boys.
Yes, but they're
the college football playoff, that possibility was dwindling.
No doubt.
And with the way that these things are lining up now, why would they include you at this point? When what they're going to be able to sell to these television networks is, here's your names and your powers right here. We don't need them. And if they start feeling the same way about basketball in the NCAA tournament, it's even double curtains.
Yeah. You know, like, because now.
For Memphis.
Now, like, at least with the Power Five, right, you could say you were a have, right? Whether they're the Pac-12, Big 12, Big 10, ACC, SEC, you were a have. Well, you're not a have in the Pac-12 anymore. You're not a have if you're in the Big 12.
All those schools that get left behind.
And now,
right there with you.
I mean, the ACC, like, they're going to get raided potentially. You know, so is Wake Forest going to be a have? I don't know. I mean, I you know, this is just going to, you know, there's only 40. There's only going to be 40.
and the rest are going to be have-nots. And every single one of those universities and athletic programs is going to have to make choices. You know, some of those programs will have more money than others, right? All things are not equal. But you're going to get, you know, 80 schools are going to get a crappier TV deal, right? They're going to have less money to pay their coaches. They're going to have fewer fans in the stands.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just like the way of the. It's kind of depressing, really. If you
well, and it's not on the Alabamas and the, you know, the UCLA's, USC's, your whatever, take whatever Big Ten power you want to. It's not on them to save you. What's the incentive for them to go save a few of us?
I agree.
There is none.
They don't care.
They don't care about feelings. They don't care about old rivalries, traditions. None of that.
That's very true. They're
being driven by the dollar. And if they go out and get it for their conferences, hell, what does it do? It gets them more. It's job security for them, for those guys. And so that's what I'm asking. What's the incentive to go pull up a few of us like a Memphis and say, yeah, we're heading on. Hey, come on, jump on board. There isn't any.
Right. And then, like, again, let's just take a school like Memphis. They're going to have to, like, again, we'll see where it all ends up because I don't think anybody knows. But are they not going to have to ask themselves, like, you know, how do we continue to – if you're a booster, why am I continuing to give so much, right? I mean, I love my school. I love my university. But I might take my dollars to a different department. I might put those dollars in the academic side of it rather than the athletic side of it because athletics is – there's a cap. There's a legitimate cap on what this program can achieve if you are out of that group.
Yeah, it's just awful because you've been tapping on their doors and begging them, basically, those Memphis donors, just believe in us, keep on giving us those millions, right? Because we're going to get to that quote unquote promised land. We're right there. Look at what we've done academically. Look at all the strides we've made in athletics. You've been begging, basically, stay with us, believe. But if you can't sell again that dream, talked about Kerry earlier, of us being with the big boys, how are you going to get the same level of passion and investment out of that same donor? You've been banging on for years saying, we're about to get to the big leagues. Just hang on, hang in there, give me another million, give me another 10 million. You're not going to get that. And so eventually, once that, you know, if that lightens up in terms of the investment, yeah, man, it's going to lighten up in all areas. What you can do, you know, the options that you have, and it hits recruiting. It touches everything else. It touches ticket sales. So it's not a place you want to be. Memphis has done all it can, really, it feels like to me, to put itself in position. The problem is that the landscape was always changing, right? The goalposts keep moving.
Yep.
We're trying to play catch-up. We think we're there. The goalposts move on us again. We've used the Lucy pulling the ball from Charlie Brown. And it really truly is that. Every time you think and John is part of the reason why I've been so cynical about it for years about Memphis making it, we've always thought we were close. And again, it's not just you getting closer and what you do. It's how much is the landscape changing. And here we see it's like quicksand in terms of how dynamic the change is. Goalposts moving. It's not fun to think about for Memphis. You know, hopefully there's a life raft to be had, and my guess right now is it's going to be with a bunch of other brand name schools that are going to get left out of these couple of super conferences that we're going to have.
Like,
you know, out of the pack, out of the Big 12.
So it's like, you know, Washington State, Oregon State.
Yeah, not Washington, Colorado, because it looks like they're going to go to Big 10.
Right.
So some of those others, yes. Give me some junk out of the Big 12. You know, that we can be
Kansas State. Although they might get in, I don't know. I'm not sure. You know. Baylor. Baylor's not getting in, right? Baylor's got too much politically going on there. I don't.
Oh, Baylor's in.
Are they?
Yep. Too good of a school.
We'll see.
School brand.
Yeah, but man, they have a lot of controversy that follows them. So I think that the political piece of that might be.
Yeah, they all have that.
What
though.
Keeps them out? Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think. I'm trying to think out loud. Like Iowa State, right? Iowa State probably would not get in. Isn't Iowa in?
Oh, yeah, both of those teams, both Iowa schools are good. Yeah.
Well, Iowa's already in the Big Ten.
Yep. Iowa State is a have.
Yeah, I mean, they're not all getting in, though, right?
They can. I mean, we're saying 20.
No, we're talking about 40, right? You're talking about the two mega conferences.
So you've already got 16 in the SEC.
They're saying it could go up to 25 if you want to get crazy about it, maybe
sure.
50, but you're talking to 40 to 50 teams here.
Sure.
That will be in the SEC and the
but
new
I,
Big
I lean toward it being closer to 40, though, because that's less slices of pie
that you have to split.
Well, and I was looking at it from, there might be a third tertiary conference, call it the Big 12, and then that level will be good and not great.
You'll be considered a have-not, though, right?
Yeah, do they give you a chance to compete with the big boys, for the big dog? Are you in a college football playoff with the other two
when
you're in that big new Big 12? My guess is no. You know, from everything I'm reading, but again, that's what I pointed. It might not even just be football; it might be basketball. They may decide to take their basketball and go home, make a new tournament. Hey, CBS, here's what we can offer you.
Yeah, like Texas Tech, like they're not going to get in. They're going to be a have-not.
TCU,
right? TCU. I don't know. What about Oklahoma State? Are they going to be a have?
Absolutely.
I don't know though, because Oklahoma is not going to be down for that.
I think the challenge is you might have a third mega conference.
Well, it won't be a mega conference, though, because there's only going to be two of those, right? I mean, it's going to be considerably worse.
I think it's a third one that has a hard time getting Memphis in it.
It's a third one that has, like, the rejects, which that's a tough sell. Like, it's the best of the rest.
Yep. But they're really good. I mean, they're
Power Fives right now, yeah. You guys
yes.
are saying.
Yeah. Yes. Those are billion-dollar, you know, endowment schools.
Right, but the way I look at that is that you weren't good enough for the top two.
To make the cut for the top two.
Oh, that's fair.
I mean, so that's...
But I think that's where we're at now, folks.
It's going to be a top two, and then it's going to be the rest.
I think what you're saying, you're kind of telling on yourself that the Big 12 isn't as good as those other two already, is what you're saying. I think that's where we're at.
It's kind of close.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a take. That's
Once
just
you
a
lost
fact.
Oklahoma and Texas, that changes.
So then that is what it is.
Yeah, and then you're adding AAC schools.
Yeah.
I mean,
AAC schools are hoping to get into this.
The Big 12 is
a
wreck.
Yeah.
You know, again, would you have rather been in it than the AAC, which is worse? Yes.
That's what we're going to be telling ourselves to put ourselves to bed here soon.
It's all relative.
That it's better than where we were. It's better than when we were.
Yeah.
But we're going to
tell
ourselves
that. You want to be in the Big Ten or the SEC.
Of course, but like you also have to deal in reality, and you have to do the best you can within that. You know, of course.
That you're not one of the top 40 or top 50.
I would like to be able to snap my fingers and Memphis is in the Big Ten or the SEC. That ain't going to happen. Does that just mean they languish and die on the vine? I mean, you can't do that. You have to try.
You want to be in the Big 12.
You have to try to get into, you know, I don't even know if it'll be a Big 12.
That level is where you want to be.
Yeah. The
next year.
Right. Correct.
It's the best case scenario.
Yeah, you want to get into that level.
And it's still going to suck, right? It's not going to be good.
I don't think – I wouldn't say it sucks. I would say you want to be in it if you're Memphis and you pray you're in it.
Well, because you're in.
Well, because the alternative is death.
Exactly.
The alternative is North Texas is where you're at.
You're right now. You're dining in hell.
I think that. I hate saying it. That's where you're at. You're in North Texas. You're a UAB.
Well, that's who you're in the league with.
Yeah.
I mean, that is on paper that those are your peers.
That's right.
Now they're better than those schools. They have more tradition than those schools. They have the brand is better at Memphis.
Yep.
I mean that's why. It's so sickening, is that you feel like you've been lumped in with this group that you don't belong.
And the challenge of that, John, is that somebody's always going to be the best of the worst.
Oh, there's no doubt. There's no question about it. Or the worst of the best. You know, you're just what Memphis is trying to do is be the worst of the best.
That's right.
And you're still whatever. I don't know what you are anymore. I don't know. It's hard, like the dust hasn't settled. You know, so we're speculating on things that may not even come to fruition. We don't know.
These super conferences are coming.
But that is happening.
And
that's happening.
That we will not be a part of either one. Of
exactly.
Those, I think it's going to come.
But what the rest of it looks like,
right?
You know?
Afterwards,
right.
What it's named,
I don't know.
That's going to be a combination of the Big 12 and the Pac 12.
You know,
be some weird combination of those.
Right.
It'll be a new name.
I haven't seen Memphis mentioned in any of these pieces, though. You know, like it's just like they're not. I saw Boise mentioned. We talked about that yesterday. That makes sense for the Pac 12, but. Who wants to be in the Pac-12 right now? I mean, that thing is...
UNLV.
It's disintegrating.
Well, you don't want to know what's going to be left, yeah.
Yeah, and UNLV brings nothing from a football perspective.
No, but it does it, but if you're them, you want to be like Memphis is to the Pac-12.
Absolutely, but it's the same
UNLV
problem.
UNLV wants to be in the Pac-12.
Of course. They can want to be in whatever they want to be in, but you're a joke of a football program,
no,
right?
It's the same it's the same with Memphis in the Big 12. You know,
yeah. I mean, it's just like
I thought you asked an interesting question: is do you want to spend $250 million to be in the newly revamped Big 12?
Again, it's you're weighing alternatives. It's either spend $250 million to be in this, or it's $250 million to be in a slightly better version of this.
But the problem is you don't have the $150 to $200 million right now. You need that from the donors who you had been telling when you do this, it will get us to the promised land.
It does.
So if it's not going to get you to the promised land anymore, just some watered-down second-tier version,
how do you get to $150 to $200?
How do you raise the money at that point if you're not there?
It's going to start drying up because those folks have been laying out money based on the fact we're going to get there. We believe that we belong in the big time. When you take that away, you're not going to get that same level of investment. That's the bottom line.
There's no doubt about it.
Yep.
And it will affect everything. Facilities, recruiting, all of it.
And that, by the way,
your ability to go out.
That's not just true of Memphis, right? That's true for any school like Memphis.
100%.
Yes. No, there's no question. UNLV is the same way.
And Memphis is in probably one of the best boats because they have had that, right? So if you're a school that has not had that, you're never going to have it. You're just never going to have it. And that stinks. It truly does.
It's a tough job for the people over there in the athletic department right now that got even tougher with all of this.
The Pac-12 is listening. They have released a statement, and they said they met this morning and they authorized the conference to explore all expansion options.
Yeah.
Look, can you rule Memphis out of the Pac-12 or whatever the hell it is? No, because you can't. I mean, it's crazy. It's a crazy world we live in. You're just trying to – you're on a sinking ship right now and you're about to drown, right?
Yeah, but there's too many other people that are going to be saved first. On the boat.
Yes.
Like the Titanic.
Yes.
There are only so many boats and many spots on those boats.
Yes.
And unfortunately, the ones that are already in the Power Five, they're going to be first in line.
That's true.
And then you got to hope that there's a little extra room for you.
Yep. That's the situation for Memphis. There is no doubt about it. And it's not going to be easy. Not going to be easy, and it's not going to be pain-free.
You're going to have to move quick.
But maybe they get lucky this time. Right? They deserve it. All right, we'll come back. Trista Crickson will join us on the other side. We'll talk to her about NBA free agency, what the Grizzlies have done, Kevin Durant, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM. Yes.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports. Download the Superbook Sports Tennessee app today with Jason and John live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Money taller than the trees in Yosemite.
The heavens.
Got my 40 on me, that's my mini-me.
Catch Trista Crick on BetMGM tonight. Check her out on the Heat Check podcast with Trista Crick. NBA free agency is going wild. She joins us now. Trista, what's up?
I literally just was ready to ghost ride my whip.
There you go, yeah.
I was like, tell me when to go. Oh, my God.
E40? A little E40 for you.
That West Coast.
They just let you guys play whatever you guys want? That's amazing.
They don't let you play whatever you want?
Not on BetMGM tonight, they don't.
Well,
they give us the killer track.
Yeah, you're going to have to negotiate that in the next deal. that you get to choose your own bumper music. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. I do on the Fan, but not on BetMGM tonight.
There you go. All right. Kevin Durant is being traded. Is he going to wind up in Phoenix? And what do you think this does for the Suns if it happens?
So I was thinking about this earlier today. What's the best scenario for Kevin and for the Nets, right? Because we know the Nets aren't just going to let Kevin walk for nothing. I think that the Suns probably have the best package. You might say, well, Toronto's got a pretty interesting amount of young talent as well. But I think Mikal Bridges is probably one of the most underrated two-way wings in the game. I think he can give you more offensively than he has been in Phoenix just because of his role. I think you would add him to, say, and I know people are down on DeAndre Ayton. I still think he's a top three true center in the league. You could add him, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges, and maybe like a Cam Johnson, who I think could be an interesting, you know, long, athletic wing role player guy as well. And then you put 3-4 first-round picks with that. You know, that's a really good core if you could get something there. And then Kevin would be happy because he apparently wants to go to Phoenix. What that means for Phoenix I think is interesting. I do think they get a lot less depth. I still think that they need a front court presence at that point, right? Like, do you sign – who do you end up signing? Is that like a Bismack Biyombo? Like, who still needs – is that a Kevon Looney? Do you go after Kevon Looney and try to take him from the Warriors? That would be interesting, wouldn't it, just addition by subtraction? Mm-hmm. A lot of the centers have signed already, you know, the Mitchell Robinsons of the world – you know, the Andre Drummonds of the world, the JaVale McGees of the world. So there's not a lot of options for Phoenix, but in terms of a ball handler and somebody who can score when Chris Paul inevitably gets injured in the playoffs is interesting. And I think that becomes a three-headed offensive monster. All three guys can D up as well. But in terms of depth, it would be tough, and they would need to make some more free agent, you know, small signings, maybe like a Dante DiVincenzo, or maybe like a TJ Warren or something like that, who hasn't been signed, in order for them to really increase or expand the depth that they have right now.
Let me ask you this, Trista. If he did go to Phoenix and we complete the deal with everything that you just laid out, and they manage to win title, multiple titles, whatever it is, for Kevin Durant, it's more titles. Does it change what we say about him, the narrative on him, his legacy at all? You know, with Golden State, there are a faction of us that hold it against him. Hey, you're joining a team that was already formed, although, albeit you played well, you got a finals MVP. But would it change Kevin Durant's story if he goes to Phoenix and wins one title, multiple titles, either way? What do you think?
I think where we're at, Kevin, I think collectively, is that his story's really complicated.
For sure.
And he, as a person, from what I can gather, because I don't know him well, is very complex. And so I think what he was trying to do was something that was very admirable, which is to create, I want to say, like, maybe a startup culture.
Yep.
And go with a friend and try to make something happen in a way that was the way you wanted it to be, in an environment that you created and basically, I mean, he piggybacked off what Brooklyn had already done, but you're basically creating something from quote unquote scratch.
I'm with you.
And that's,
yep.
Most entrepreneurs fail. And I think that shows you that it's not easy, even with two of the best scorers of our generation, to be able to do that. And I think that there's a lot of the craftsmanship of role-playing that I think has been diminished over time. And as you become a star player, I think more and more, and I'm not a star player, but like I can only put myself in their shoes, which is, you know, you guys are the linchpin, but the role players are so integral to winning a title. We saw that with Golden State, with Gary Payton, with Otto Porter, with Kevon Looney. You have to have role players step up, and you can't take away the backbone of a culture like Kenny Atkinson and hope that role players just figure it out, because if they could do that on their own, they would be stars. They need coaching. Kevin Durant does not need coaching. Kyrie Irving does not need coaching, but guys like Bruce Brown do. Guys like Joe Harris do. Even older guys like LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin do. So I think that they're just, it really makes it interesting. If he goes to Phoenix and wins multiple titles there, which I'm not sure that they would because things are only getting stronger in the West and in the East.
True.
I think it just adds color to how difficult it is to win a ring and how doing it and building a roster organically is takes a longer time. It's a lot harder. It's a lot more risk. But if you can create an environment like Memphis, I'm not even just like saying that because it's you guys, but if you can create that, there's a sustainability there and a culture there that persists and that you can rely on and put your feet down on and feel like it's solid.
You mentioned the Grizzlies. It doesn't. I mean, we you know, we kind of joked around about it like for 5 seconds when the news broke that Kevin Durant was requesting a trade. There was some thought, right? Like some offshores had the Grizzlies as like the second favorite, I guess, behind Miami.
Right.
So like, I guess there were legs to it, but it became pretty clear immediately it would not happen. If it were on the table, though, do you think the Grizzlies would have to give up Desmond Bane and Jaren, and if that's true, would you do that for Kevin Durant?
I don't think if I'm the Grizzlies, I would want to do it, period. And that says nothing about Kevin Durant because I wanted him in Portland. But you have to think about, you guys have such a full cupboard. There's just so many pieces, and maybe that makes you an intriguing place to go and an intriguing trade partner because you have a lot of picks and you have a lot of assets, but it's very rare to have a culture of role players that all step up in big moments and a huge superstar like Ja. And so if I'm Memphis, it seems like a shortcut to something that's an inevitability. I think that Memphis will be a contender for a very long time because of who Ja is and how this organization is run. As long as the decision makers in place keep making decisions with the same mindset in mind and that they're the same ones that are in place, I think that, you know, this is something you want to keep going. You don't want to break up a good thing because you just really never know how a new ingredient is going to mesh with the crew.
Tris, if you were reseeding the East based on the movement so far, and let's roll with that the Nets trade Kevin Durant out west, out to Phoenix. We'll just stick with that one, and that the East is the East right now. And we know that could still change. Who would you put at the top? Who have you liked in terms of what they've done? Has Philly moved up in your eyes? Have others fallen? If you're reseeding the East, who's your top couple of seeds?
I'm really interested to see what Milwaukee does. Why have they not done anything like of note besides re-signing Bobby Portis? I think just respect-wise, I have to give them the top.
I get it.
Seed, like, I wouldn't say that they're the number one seed next year in the East, but I think that they're the team to beat if fully healthy because of who they have and Drew and Chris Middleton and Giannis, of course. And I would imagine they'll bring some other role players in place to shoot threes like they need. And maybe they go after like someone like Joe Harris if it's a fire sale in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting move. So I put them at top. I really like what Boston did. I think getting Malcolm Brogdon, if he's healthy. Now, the benefit is that we know Malcolm Brogdon does not like to be healthy. He's not a player that you can rely on for 82 games. But for a team like Boston, that doesn't matter. You just need Malcolm Brogdon for matchups, right? You need him against teams like the Warriors where you need a consistent ball handler who can not only go right but can also go left,
right,
and isn't going to turn the ball over and isn't going to get sloppy with the rock in a way that ends up turning into transition buckets for a monster like Golden State. So Malcolm Brogdon, I think, is a really interesting piece for matchups. And I think Marcus Smart will still start, but Malcolm Brogdon is a great complement for problems that we saw pop and rear their ugly heads in the playoffs.
We're talking to Trista Crick, catcher on BetMGM tonight, the Heat Check podcast. You mentioned we were talking about Jaren. He's out. They kind of snuck that one in,
They did.
The Pac-12's been destroyed, and Kevin Durant wants a trade. Oh, by the way, Jaren Jackson's going to miss 6 months. How concerning is that? How concerning should it be for the Grizzlies, considering this is his second lost offseason in 3 years?
I think pretty concerning. I'd like to know kind of what you guys think too. Jaren Jackson has a lot of potential as a defender, as a guy who can play out on the perimeter and do multiple things as a competitor. Obviously, him and the rest of the crew are very tight. But to go down. It was a meniscus tear at first, right? Two off seasons ago?
Yes.
Meniscus tear and now a foot injury. Like, these are things that are connected. These are things that, you know, our body is a chain, right? It's a kinetic chain. I don't mean to get super nerdy, but like the neck bone's connected to the hip bone kind of a thing, right? Yeah. And so your meniscus, even if it's on the opposite foot, it still connects to the rest of your body. They're not individual parts. So yeah, I'm very concerned of a player who's as young as Jaren, who makes his living on his athleticism and his bounce and his first step and all these things that, you know, your feet and knees are very important to have to be healthy in order to do all those things. Yeah, I think that the Memphis probably front office and those in ownership are really scratching their heads and probably wondering, okay, like, what do we do in the meantime? Also, really quickly as an aside, awesome getting Tyus Jones back. I thought that was huge. But this team, I love that for you guys. That was such an underrated re-signing and such a really great move from like a sacrificial standpoint for Tyus, because I know he said he wanted to be a starter and he's obviously not going to be one. So good for him. Good for you guys. But this team plays really awesome without Jaren Jackson. We've seen that. Like, you played pretty well and now you have more pieces and more role players in action and who have taken more steps and have more experience. So when he is out for the beginning of next year, I think with Steven Adams, you'll be able to kind of keep things rolling.
Do the Knicks remain a joke, Trista? Even after the Brunson move?
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm super happy for Jalen Brunson. Like, I am on the record, I want everyone to be overpaid.
Sure.
Like, my goal in life to be slandered like that, like Jaren Jackson. Like, people be like, Trista made how much? Like, we all should aspire to be overpaid to the point where people are in their cars talking about whether we're going to live up to that contract. So, he put up big, big points when Luka was not on the floor, and I knew that that was going to be a moment of time where, wow, this is defining for his bag, right? And shame on Dallas for not giving him 4 years, $56 million when he came back in January and asked for it and said, listen, playing pretty well, I'm happy to stay, and even though my dad is on staff for the Knicks, even though my, like, surrogate father runs the Knicks, and I'm, like, from the Northeast, from Jersey, I'm totally happy to stay and rock out with y'all. And they said no. And so it's more of a credit to, I think it's also a credit that we don't talk enough about Mark Cuban. As much as he says he wants to pay money, he has been cheap and has allowed guys to walk out that, you know, maybe should have stayed. So, yeah, the Knicks, weird moves to do what they did, but it makes sense, I guess, from a branding perspective. Are they a competitor? Are they a contender? Definitely not. Do they make the playoffs? Maybe not. Does Tibbs get fired? Maybe.
Mm-hmm. I would vote for Mark Cuban for president, though. I love that dude. Like, he has like this this new thing where, you know, he offers these generic prescription drugs for like no money. Like, the guy's changing the world, and I think we're gonna look back and we're gonna say, you know what? He probably made the right choice by not paying Chandler Parsons. All right,
he did.
I'll give him that. So sometimes he's like the canary in the coal mine when it comes to not paying these guys. You know, like, he sees the vision.
He was willing, though, to give Jalen Brunson, like, $100 million, though. Don't sleep.
Yeah.
I would have taken the $100 million, though, in Dallas.
For sure.
Over the $100 million in New York.
It's not even close. It's not even close.
There's no state tax. You're playing with Luka. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just probably 40% cheaper to live in general. Like, if you're talking about bang for your buck.
No doubt.
Dallas is one of the best places in the country for that.
We were talking about it earlier. I don't know if Jason co-signed this, but like I said, I think by the end of it, like, or maybe not even by the end of it, Knicks fans are going to hate Jalen Brunson. Like, they're like, it's going to be one of those deals where they're like you talked about, overpaid, overrated. Like, I don't see that marriage ending smoothly. Cuz like, are they going to win big with Jalen Brunson and that, like, I think
problems Randall.
Yeah,
I think
I probably issue. Not. Yeah. So, like, Knicks fans are just going to be miserable like always.
They need a big. They need another two guard. I thought it would have been interesting if they could have gotten DeJounte Murray.
Ooh.
DeJounte Murray, they got him for almost nothing in Atlanta. So if you could have gotten him, that would have made sense to me. And then it kind of makes Jalen Brunson a better fit now. Is RJ playing two? Is he playing three? Like, really interesting considering that neither one of them is considered to be, like, I know that he went 3 for 6 in the playoffs, but like I don't know necessarily if Jalen, as small as he is he's considered like a sharp shooter. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? And neither is RJ. So the shooting on this team outside of Evan Fournier, which he lacks a lot outside of that, and he can go ice cold too, is left to be desired. Well.
Mm-hmm. Now, aren't you an Oregon alum?
I am. Go Ducks.
So, I mean, you're fighting for your life right now.
They left us. They're going to a place where it's just cornfields and grass and tipping cows. If you want to go over there, you know what? Maybe they're just running from the grind. Maybe they're just running from Dan Lanning, and Dan Lanning's the truth. Him, former defensive coordinator for Georgia. Maybe we are an upstart dynasty ready to reemerge. Will we win anything of note since we've never won a championship? Probably not. Is it all about money? Here's the thing that I saw, too. They said, you know why, if you want a glimpse into why USC and UCLA are leaving for the Big Ten network is playing 24/7 about UCLA and USC going to them, and the Pac-12 network right now is showing old footage of volleyball games.
I don't even know where to find the Pac-12 network. That's another thing. It's like, I remember Memphis played UCLA like 7 years ago, and like you had to like find a hole in the wall just to, you know, maybe because like it was like only on a specific provider. Like it's just a mess.
Yes.
It's a mess.
You have to literally like do it on your laptop and Chromecast. You got to pay a certain amount of money.
Yep.
They like give you 7 minutes free of watch time. You got to go private browser for the next 7 minutes of watch time.
Yep.
It's so bad. It's rough. And I'm like, I pay for everything. You know, I pay for every cable, whatever, over the top. And I can't, if I can't get Pac-12 Network as an Oregon fan, good night and good luck.
By the way, Dan Lanning, former linebackers coach at Memphis, not just a former DC at Georgia. He was at Memphis before he went to Georgia.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
So Dennis Dodd has reported that the Big Ten has informed Oregon and Washington that they are chilling right now. They are standing pat, brother. Which means now the Pac-12 is going to expand, right? So Oregon and Washington stay, and then you know what the Pac-12 does? They come and poach the best of the Big 12. So, you know, the Texas schools, right? Like I think Wolken had the names out there. And that's going to be your opening if you're Memphis, right? Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, and Houston.
Mm-hmm.
And
then you go replace what leaves there?
Correct.
In the Big 12?
Yep, and you're in the same league with UCF and Cincinnati.
Hello again.
Hello.
Happy to see us?
Is it me looking for?
Well, we're happy to see you.
So it would be, like, who would be left in the Big 12, right? So it would be Iowa State. It would be West Virginia. It would be Kansas State. UCF, Cincinnati, Kansas. You would have that Kansas basketball series, baby.
For now.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's in any big hurry.
No, I get it. I mean, it's about football.
Right.
Kansas football. Blech. Yeah.
So that's your hope, right?
Best of the rest.
That you get into the Smedium 12.
And again, better than what you're in. In this case, a lot better. than the AAC.
Yes. Yeah. Because, like, look, the AAC was not that bad when it was UCF, Houston, Cincinnati, and Memphis, right? Like, it was actually pretty good. UCF, you know, got basically, I mean, they won a national championship, as we know. Yeah. Cincinnati got to the playoff,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Houston is always, like, relevant in basketball, mostly, but, like, fine in football. And then Memphis. Like, so if you just get back with them, which is, to me, you're more in line with those four than you are North Texas, UTSA, Charlotte, and that slaw, you know, you can.
But is it still a college football playoff?
Well, that's
that
an
includes
yes.
those conferences,
right? That's
or
a,
are the super conferences going
no,
to just
but,
take,
but,
go
but,
off on their own?
But they'll probably expand the college football playoff, won't they?
That's Jaapir on the.
They will they, almost certainly. And so that you know,
expand it to include more of themselves.
Well,
or
yes.
expand it to give us
yeah.
a chance.
No, it'll be to you know yes, it'll be to include themselves. But
if you can do that and still tell Memphis fans and boosters that you get a chance to.
Yes.
You know, play for the big football playoff or the big NCAA tournament ring. And I think you can keep it at a level that's worth keeping it going.
Yeah,
put it that way.
That's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Tristan Craig for joining us on the show. Gino and Jeffrey are up next. Have a safe weekend, right? Be careful
don't
with those fireworks.
Don't burn your hands off.
You don't want to be the next Jason Pierre-Paul, right?
Very true.
Be safe. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.